From the land to Grand Teton University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the sixth day of October 2025. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at agmarket.net. We'll hear from Ed Uss, an agricultural economist at the University of Minnesota. He's really concerned about basis levels backing up from the soybean prices in North Dakota. And then we'll turn our attention to the weather forecast with Mark Russo. He's at Everstream Analytics, all on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report that comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world, online, on demand, anytime you'd like it. WillAg.org, WILLAG.org. And don't forget, there's a donate button there if you are so inclined. Make a contribution and make sure that you put in the comments section in support of agriculture.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
December corn for the day settled at $4.21¾, up 2¾ cents. The March at $4.38¼, 2½ higher. And the May contract at $4.47¼, up 2 cents. November beans a quarter lower. They finished at $10.17¾. January, $10.35¾, down a penny and a quarter. And the March contract at $10.51, down 1¼ cents. Bean meal futures, $1.50 lower. The bean oil, 33 cents higher. Wheat futures for the soft red, down 2½. They're at $5.12¾ on the settlement price. That and the December contract, December hard red, down a penny and a half at $4.95½. Live cattle futures, $2.17½ higher. Feeder cattle up $5.37½, and lean hogs off just 2½ cents for the day. Crude oil on the day trading at $61.63 a barrel, about 75 cents higher. And the wholesale price of gasoline now at $1.90, up 3¼ cents. Here to talk about all these numbers and what they mean to the marketplace is Kurt Kimmel. He's at agmarket.net. Hello, Kurt. Thanks for being with us. I bet you have numbers on the weekly crop progress report for us today. Oh, wait a second. No, you don't. No, no. You do not. That's the way it goes. That's the way it goes.
Got an idea.
What do you think they look like? What's the trade thinking?
Well, where are the trades at? We're a little further along. I think particularly in beans as a nation, the estimates are from the analysts are coming in anywhere from 35 upwards towards 48% complete as a nation. On beans, corn, 29 to 33% complete as a nation. I think it's, you know, a little further along than that, particularly on beans. You're going to have to look pretty hard for beans. Guys have been fairly aggressive on beans in through here. So those are being wrapped up, if not wrapped up, corn. A couple of elevator reports, starting to see more corn come in now here today versus last week. So it dry. Some producers have stopped in some areas. Just the fact of the risk of fires and so forth. It's amazing that the fires we've seen this fall, Todd.
Yeah, so we've had fires, and be careful out there if you are in the field. Also, if you're on the back roads, be careful because there's a lot of slow-moving machinery out there. Have you had producers call you about soybeans that are going across the scale? I know at the elevator they're asking sometimes what they should do with them. Have you had those calls, and do you have advice for them?
Yeah, we've been seeing actually normal sales across the scale. The commercial was hoping for mass sales across the scales. We've actually seen basis firm up in some areas. I think the commercial side, the buyer side of the equation is wanting to buy stuff much cheaper from here, but it's just not happening. I think producers are stocking it away in storage, finding a home for it. Beans have taken corn storage here, particularly on some temporary storage. Instead of selling the wide basis, they've decided to store it one way or another. If you do move some grain here this fall, you know, beans, which we're visiting about right now, I'd look at some type of replacement strategy. We've been doing some call spreads to keep your foot in the door. Reason being, if we would see something develop here on U.S. and China, But more importantly is that we feel the southern hemisphere is fairly well sold out. So if they would run into a weather situation here this winter during their growing season, we'd be in a position to see some additional demand come our way. Are we going $13, $14? No, but we feel we could get something going to the upside here as we go into the South American growing season. We just want to be flexible and have an opportunity to add to our bottom line, Todd.
I think it was a conversation that I had with you maybe last week about farmers using bags and finding ways to store more corn on the farm than they have and had in the past. Do you still think that's the case? And is there advice for that those extra bushels that are now on the ground?
Yeah, we've seen a little bit more comfort bags and storing on the ground. The crop's incredibly dry. It's been kind of a little bit of a chuckle. The propane guys are going to have a tough winter unless it's real cold because of the lack of, you know, having to dry the crop down as we have seen in the past and through here. But yeah, guys have been creative, bagging it, temporarily stacking it some places. I wish I could remember there's an area where lumber, you can't buy any lumber because they were building some temporary coverage for some grain needing a home in through here. So producers and elevators and they've been kind of creative in here trying to find a home for this stuff here as we start to enter the last third of the bean harvest and the last half or maybe two thirds of corn harvest.
As you move through the month of October, what will you be watching? This is the crop insurance setting month again.
Yeah, we'll see how that unfolds in through here. It kind of feels like these corn's dialed into this 415, 430 trading range. The November beans are kind of dialed in from 10 to 1035. It's range bound with the government information zero. I think it's going to be awful hard for the market to push sharply one way or the other. I think most of the action is going to be in the basis, and I think you got to watch cash bids. If they start to firm in through here, that's going to be your first sign that demand's a little bit better than what they've been letting on.
Anything in the livestock sector before I let you go? Just short stuff.
Oh, cattle's defying the law of gravity. We've kind of moved above some resistance here, so they're off to the moon once again in through here. And the other thing I think we got to kind of keep a watch on is the outside markets. This metal market's just on fire. You know, if we're going to have some inflations, hopefully one of these days it'll spill over to the grain market.
Hey, thank you much.
You bet, Todd. Take care.
That's Kurt Kimmel. He is with AgMarket.net. In today's agricultural news, California's adoption of E15 is a bright spot amid the struggling farm economy and the government shutdown. California Governor Newsom signing his legislation's E15 bill made the state the last remaining and biggest to allow sales of the higher ethanol blends. Renewable Fuels Association's Troy Bradenkamp never doubted Newsom would sign the unanimously passed bill.
He got on board last year. RFA commissioned a study with UC Berkeley and others that looked at what would E15 mean to the California consumer.
Bradenkamp says the study's findings were significant.
That study showed a $2.7 billion per year savings to California consumers, almost $200 per household.
Those numbers helped fuel Newsom's signature on the bill.
As soon as we were able to get that report in front of him, he has been on board with getting E15 jump-started in California.
Bradenkamp says California will add almost 600 million gallons of new demand for American ethanol, or some 200 million bushels of corn. He says he hopes California's move will give added momentum to year-round E15 legislation in Congress. Now let's move from California to Washington, D.C., where President Trump is considering a massive aid program for U.S. farmers, according to multiple outlets, floating the potentially tariff-funded idea as agriculture industry navigates low commodity prices and high operating costs amidst Trump's trade wars. The aid package could provide some $10 billion or more for U.S. farmers, according to the Wall Street Journal, which cited unnamed people familiar with the discussions who said money could start being distributed in the coming months. Trump officials are evaluating how money made from tariffs could supplement farmer payments. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Ed Usset, agricultural economist at the University of Minnesota with Extension, now joins us to talk about the marketplace. Ed, usually about this time we'd be discussing the October crop production and USDA reports, but I suppose that's not happening this week. So we should move on to other topics, which include something USDA has dabbled with, but I don't know they've ever put a zero in the exports to China for soybeans. What do you think the trade's planning for the month of October here without direction from USDA?
Well, I think the trade will get by okay for 1 month without a WASD report. I guess I had this question from a former grad student of mine. The world won't fall apart. I think we've got a lot of private analysts who keep tabs on things. Of course, there's a chance for a surprise when they finally come out. We get the USDA's view of things, but I think we'll be okay for 1 month.
We're okay for 1 month, but are we okay is the bottom line question.
Oh, no. Oh, we've got issues. We've got issues. We've got trade issues. I'm up here in the upper, the northern part of the Corn Belt. And just west of me are the Dakotas, and the Dakotas absolutely in the world of soybean production. And keep in mind, North Dakota is number four state on soybean acres. I mean, that kind of surprises people. You've got Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, the obvious three, but North Dakota is number four on soybean acres. And North Dakota producers depend on sending those soybeans by shuttle train to the West Coast for export to Asia and China in particular. You've shut that off, and it's creating big, big problems in the Dakotas. The soybean harvest has begun. Got to find a place to put it. And it's hard to do if it's not moving.
Really hard to do if it's not moving. That means the basis should be backing up into your area in not a good way, I suppose.
Yes, yes. You've got basis levels in the Dakotas 150 to 170 under the November contract. It's got to be a minimum of 50 cents worse than you might expect in a normal year if we have those things anymore. Here in Minnesota, I notice in southwestern Minnesota, we're at about 90 under. Even the soybean crush plants are at 50 under, which is pretty wide for that time. So it is backing up, and it's a big problem. It's a big problem.
Are you hearing about storage problems and large in-charges, those kinds of things?
Yes, they're trying to figure it out. I think one good thing going on is the corn export pace is very good. And I think a lot of producers, you have this opportunity to, if they have storage, focus on storing soybeans and move the corn at harvest because, the basis is not so terrible as soybeans. So you've got that alternative in front of you. There's a lot of bagging of soybeans going on in the Dakotas. And we'll see how we're going to hear a lot more about it in the next week or two, how it's going.
as the market stands, what are your biggest concerns going forward related to direction?
Well, this trade issue is going to hang over our head like a rain cloud. It's not easily fixed. We cannot build new markets fast enough to replace that. You got to keep in mind, I'll tell you what you know and all your listeners know, that over the last 10 years, China basically accounts for 25% of our soybean demand year after year. Take away 2018-19 when we had the initial trade war. We're not going to replace 25% of our demand easily, quickly. It's nice to see the renewable diesel continue to grow, crushing capacity continue to grow, but it's not growing 25%. And other countries we could sell to, I don't even know if they have the crushing capacity to take more. We will get more business from other countries simply because other countries might get crowded out of the Brazil and Argentina markets. They can only have so much export capacity. So we might end up getting a few players coming our way who got crowded out of Brazil.
How does this all back into the corn market, which, as you mentioned, has had really good exports, and USDA has said exports for next year, feed residual usage for next year or current year should be really good as well. Yet.
Record. Yeah. Record. We've got big carries in all three markets. That tells me that we've got plenty of ample stocks, not only in soybeans, but in corn and in wheat. Thankfully, the demand side of the corn market is continuing apace. Again, I think given the situation, I would lean, if I had the choice, if I have the capacity, move the corn before the soybeans and hope we figure something out on the trade side, because there's a lot of upside if we do in the soybean basis.
Soybeans are an anchor on the market at the moment. How much do you suppose they are an anchor on corn in dollars and cents?
I can't put a number on it. I'm just not smart enough, Todd, to put a number on that. I know this will become a bigger issue when we turn to the new year and we start talking about planting intentions in 2026. That's where it becomes a real anchor, because if we don't improve the price and the basis in the world of soybeans, we're going to get even more corn acres next year. And that'll be an anchor.
No, that could be really ugly. Really.
Yes, it could.
Really fast. Yes, it could. Really ugly. Because yeah, we already have large usage built into this number that's over 2 billion for the carryout by the time mm-hmm. we get to the fall of next year. Could change things dramatically. Farmers will have to think about it. Do they need to think about marketing any of next year's corn, soybeans, or wheat crop?
You certainly could. I don't think that if you look at the new crop futures contracts, the DEIS 26 corn contract, the November 26 soybean contract, neither one of them points to a profitable level. But there are big carries in the market, so they are at a premium to today's numbers. I'm going to take a quick look at corn. I'll bet the December 26 contract may be close to 460. I hate to do this. Yeah, it's right at 460. Boy, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to get something on the books for next year.
Hey, thanks much. We'll talk with you again in a month.
Okay, thank you, Todd.
That's Ed Ossett, agricultural economist from the University of Minnesota. You may hear more from Ed on our website. Look for the Closing Market Report. You can find that as a podcast, too. Search it out by name in your favorite podcast applications. Of course, the website address is willag.org, willag.org. And there you'll find the list of our winter meetings. You'll have to look in December. About the 12th, the Farm Assets Conference is then. We've not opened registration up yet, but that will happen soon. We had a meeting, in fact, with the FarmDoc team today about both the Farm Assets Conference, which will be the 12th, and then the following Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, the Illinois Farm Economic Summits. Put those in the back of your mind. We'll have information up on the websites soon enough for the Farm Assets Conference and the Illinois Farm Economic Summits. Let's check out the global growing regions and the weather forecast for each of them, or some of them, with Mark Russo. He's at Everstream Analytics. Hi, Mark. Thanks so much for being with us. It has been magnificent weather if you want to murk in the field, though dry conditions can cause some problems, particularly with wind and field fires. I'm wondering if we're actually going to get a little rain and what the Corn Belt will look like over the next 5 to 7 days.
Well, Todd, yeah, there are some rainfall chances here in not only across Illinois, but the Midwest in general, and that's going to be taking place here later today on into tomorrow as a frontal system passes across the Midwest. And then looking out about a week from now, there's also another frontal passage that looks to provide some rain opportunity. So there's a little bit more opportunities in the pattern here compared to what it has been. By no means is this any transition to a wetter than normal pattern or anything that would be markedly different, at least from a rainfall standpoint here coming up. The one thing that is going to be the same still is this warmer temperature bias, as we've seen here lately. That looks to continue for much of the next 2 weeks.
Will it be as warm as the warmer temperatures, or are we going to cool off some?
Yeah, there's going to be some variability. Actually, following these frontal passages, temperatures become a little more, fluctuate a little bit more here coming up. And at least some of these recent, very impressive temperatures, record-setting temperatures in parts of the Midwest, that is going to be easing here going forward. But the overall positive anomaly with temperatures, that still looks persistent here. It looks like all the way from now through the middle third of the month.
Yeah, so there's maybe a lull or a bottoming out of daytime temperatures over the next, 4, 5, 6 days, and then back up in the 80s we go.
Yeah, certainly looks like that next warm-up will be taking place on into late in the weekend and in the early part of next week.
What else have you been watching in the United States? Anything?
Well, we're watching favorable weather for winter wheat planting across the Plains hard red winter wheat belt. Their soil moisture is in very, very good shape. It's a near perfect start to their growing season or planting season so far in the Plains.
And then if you turn your attention to South America, what things are happening there?
Well, right now, across center west and much of eastern Brazil, they're actually in a heat wave and generally suppressed rainfall. That doesn't look to last very long here, as we get into the upcoming weekend and next week, rain activity looks to return to those areas, and that will help provide an increase in improvement in soil moisture, which, again, very timely at this early stage of the planting season.
Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Todd.
It's Mark Russo. He is with Everstream Analytics. Joined us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report that came to you from Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.